Oh! Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween.
It's Halloween.
I know. This is like when we come alive.
2021.
We are recording this a tad earlier than the, like, well, I wouldn't
no,
say.
Not earlier no, than we not usually do.
We usually do. Because it is truly fall now. We're in fall.
Technically.
But I feel like I haven't, my energy hasn't been imbued with the power of the harvest moon. Even though
well,
we had the harvest
moon. It's been
moon.
Like 80 degrees every
yeah,
day.
I'm
and
just
I'm
like,
sweating.
I know. It takes it out of me. I need
when
my...
I got ass crack sweat, I can't get in the.
I'm not in my full, the height of my powers, my spooky powers yet. So.
But this is our fucking Super Bowl.
This is it. This is the big
what
one.
We work for
all year
round.
This is what we go for. We already have it planned last Halloween.
Yeah.
We're going for this Halloween. We're doing
absolutely.
It.
And we'll start working on next Halloween
at the end of the night, right now.
So this is PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined by Janine Guillotine Gagliardi.
I love it. Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you.
This is Act One.
Ooh.
Halloween Act One. So
I feel like you should just be making like footstep sounds and like creaking doors.
Bill is here as well.
We need a Foley section.
Foley's?
Sure.
Or the Follies. I like Follies better. oh no.
That's all I got.
No coconuts.
Oh no. Oh no.
Oh.
That was an excerpt from the highest rated episode of PCMC, Fart Sounds.
Sometimes I think about changing the name just to see if I could just tank the ratings. So as always, as a tradition here, around mm-hmm. here, around these parts, we exchange Halloween gifts. Never Christmas.
Nope.
Never birthdays.
Nope.
You've had many children. I've given you zilch.
Nope.
Nothing.
That's true.
When your children come of age and make all sorts of religious whatever they
all
do.
Because we have like a lot of weird religious things.
I know, like, you know, it's whatever. I feel like that was a cul-de-sac that I couldn't go away from because anywhere you go is going to sound.
Like offensive in some
way. Yeah, I'm making fun of somebody. So first, here's just a lovely treat for everybody to enjoy.
Cotton candy. Everything nice cotton candy.
And orange cotton candy.
And it has a little pumpkin on the front, so it looks like cotton candy.
It is.
This is awesome.
Spooky cotton candy. Oh,
lovely.
Which
thank
one
you.
Is... Okay, hold on. Hold the... I believe this is yours.
Ooh. All right.
And William.
Oh, my goodness.
I believe this is yours.
Stop it. I can't wait. Ah! Oh, my God. This is enormous.
Sound...
Ooh, we got Ooh. Mugs.
I like mine better.
Oh, shush. Oh, and it says Boo on the inside.
Yeah, you bet it does.
It's adorable. So it's like a little skull and crossbones. It's an orange
with a bow.
Polka dot
that's why it's a lady. It's a lady.
That's how you know it's a girl. And actually, I have a skull with a bow on it in our house right over my
yes.
shoulder. That's part of the artwork. This is like a little nod to that. That's very cute. Yes. I love it. This is a gigantic mug.
As Jen says, every single time I drink something out of an orange mug, you know, they say that things taste better out of orange mugs.
Is that true?
Some psychological thing.
See, I trust her.
Or it's just some nonsense. She makes shit up all the time. She's a psycho.
But you said it with enough confidence.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I love it. Let me see yours.
Mine is for boys because it doesn't have bows, but it does have a witch's hat. So it's not too much for boys.
It's not oppressively so.
You know, so anyone could wear a witch's hat. Mm-hmm. It is the 90s. So I'm going to bring this to work and I'm going to dare people to make comments about it.
As you should. I love it. I like that it's that purple inside. Is it purple? It's purple.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
I love it. Thank you.
Enjoy.
Shall we begin?
Happy Halloween.
So you're allowed to look at this, but you can't. I guess you can't say. Well, no, she'll know by then. You could say what it is.
Yeah.
She'll know. If you turn it around, you'll see.
We don't go out live.
That's not even the gift. This is just something the artist put in there.
Is this it? Is this it?
Is it? That's it. No. Hold on.
Because I saw a little piece of paper that says Stars Hollow Harvest Fest. Oh, my Lanta. Everything is different now. Annual Autumn Festival Stars Hollow. This is a beautiful, gorgeous, What would you call this? I guess it looks like
A festival poster. A festival poster, like a flyer or something, but like a very pretty one.
Right. It's gorgeous, and it stars Hollow. If you haven't listened to the Gilmore Girls episodes of this podcast, I mean, what are you doing with your life?
And then that's what I bought, right? Yes. And then when I received it in the mail, I opened it, and it came with this little insert that looks like it's on craft paper, but it's really pretty also, and it says Stars Hollow, nice. Harvest Feast. And then it has...
At the Dragonfly, yep. Which is her inn.
And executive chef, Suki St. James. You bet. And the address. So it's like, it's very, very...
Is this canon?
I guess so.
Wow, this is really gorgeous. This is like, even besides the Gilmore Girls of it all, this is like a gorgeous autumnal picture.
It's just like a pretty, it's a pretty fall scene.
You've got that like gazebo in the center of town. Mm. Just like the show, there's no black people. And there's no white people either.
There's no people.
There's no people in this. Well, that's gorgeous. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. All right, we got to put it in so it doesn't bend because she has to have her own reveal.
Yes. Yes.
All right. And then yours, I feel like.
Oh, wait. They're different?
Oh, yeah. No, that's for Jen.
Oh.
We have to actually increase the sounds for my Foley samples. I'm
going to put that in first. That's how I received it, so I believe that was how.
Hey, speaking of Foley samples, you heard the new Halloween PCMC theme by Bill Gagliardi. Ooh, okay. This one kind of John Carpenter-y, Stranger Things-y.
It's with the new trends, trying to stay up to date, you know, just like 2 years behind.
Up to date, so referencing
it's like
the 1980s.
Treehouses of Horror. Yeah. It's a couple years behind where everybody is now.
Yeah, this year's Parasite, that great horror movie. Well, see, to me, I know we've talked about this. Look up two Halloweens ago. We talked about Treehouse of Horror. Mm. To me, the real deal with the devil that they made is when they said, you know, we don't have to parody horror movies. That was the line that they crossed.
Because then they just did like Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, and it's just like,
Avatar,
why?
And like weird stuff.
Yeah, why are we doing this?
No, it doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing this? Okay, so this gift was purchased as a mystery gift. So I actually don't even know what it is.
Oh.
It is something spooky.
I hope it's not poop.
It is not a poop. It's either a mystery. It might be a little bit of poop. A mystery, a thriller, or a horror. We don't know. It has to be opened to find out. But you might not even want to open it right now because it's very it's very well wrapped. Okay. So, well, yeah, you'll have to take a picture.
It is gorgeously wrapped.
It's in a big plastic bag.
Ooh, oh wow. It is. I see this is very grammable. Mm-hmm. Which is what's the point if it's not on the ground?
Okay, you can put it on the wood background so that it has like nice nothing, none of that nonsense. Get it out of here. You don't have to open it if you don't want to.
What? Well, why? Is it a booby trap? Is this a sort of a Joker? Is this a Joker?
But it's going to, I don't know what it is, so we'll see, I guess.
It's one of those like beer nuts, like.
It's just a can of snakes.
It's a small square, so that would be a real, step forward for the genre of snakes
of
popping
snakes
out of candy.
A can. God, they've come so far.
For a second, I thought it was
Ann Coulter.
Ooh, spooky. Catherine Coulter and JT Ellison, The Lost Key, a Brit in the FBI novel.
Okay, so
is that a series of Brit in the FBI?
Yeah,
it seems thrillery. It's got gold bars on the.
Oh, that seems like. I feel like this. Oh my goodness, that is spooky.
That is. Oh wait. After working with Special Agents Lacey Sherlock, really.
You know, you ever...
Did you write this?
I wrote it.
Are you Catherine Coulter?
That's me.
You took your pen name from your two favorite
Sherlock.
People.
It's Lacey Chabert as Sherlock Holmes.
My two favorite people, Ann Coulter and Catherine the Great. I took that's how I got my pen name.
It was like a Mrs. Doubtfire situation. The Lost Key. All right. This All feels right. like a very like airport book to me. You would find this in an airport gift shop.
It's got a John Grisham-y feel to it.
Yeah.
Especially because it says big letters, Catherine Coulter and JT Ellison. I feel like JT probably did the writing here.
Maybe.
And Catherine's
Catherine
the name.
Did the glamour shots.
glamour shots. She's
that newsletter that we read.
The whole back cover is her about
it's
the author
her photo.
Photo.
I have to say, I feel like this was a bit of a bait and switch. So in purchasing it, it's like all these really, well, I guess you'll see it on Instagram, but it's like mm-hmm. these gothic or like creepy Victorian looking wrappings on these books. And it's like a mystery book, right? So this is what happens when you do like blind bags, blind items.
It's always
like, and you're going to open like Poe or something. Right, and then it's just like some lady from the airport.
For Valentine's Day, we did, Barnes & Noble was doing at Valentine's Day, like blind date with a book. And, you know, it's cute because you know that they made it. You can see they draw things on it and shit. Mm. And then it's just like, it was just some shitty book. And I was like, oh, all right. The fun is over.
There it is. So well. We'll always have the wrapping paper.
But thank you so much.
My instincts were correct. You shouldn't have opened it.
Please open up the fly leaf. It just says, fuck you. I got you.
I got you.
Open it up. There's no pages. It's just like cut out and there's a bomb in it. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I hope you read that cover to cover.
I will. All right. So we're like 50 minutes into this. I hope you haven't turned it off yet. Today's topic is, it's a list. Top jump scares.
Oh, man. If there was a way we could incorporate an actual jump scare into the podcast.
No, don't do that because now they're going to listen like squinting.
Good. They should.
No, it's not going to happen.
You feel how I feel.
It's not going to happen.
I'm just going to like drop something really heavy in the course. I'm like, oh, what was that?
No, I cut it out. No. Well, you know, we're talking about jump scares in movies and television. I don't know. You might have a video game on your list. I don't know what you do. But today I was thinking about, remember like the early 2000s, late 90s, like e-bombs were like, there were so many websites that had jump scares.
Jump scares, yeah.
Oh, they were the worst.
You'd be watching something and it'd be like, follow the dot. See if right. you can make the dot into the triangle. Stare at the triangle for 30 seconds and then like a big screaming right. face would show
up. A shotgun noise, a scream, and then like usually the face of Pazuzu from The Exorcist.
Yeah, and like come at the screen. Or awful.
There would be like Girl with No Eyes. That was another one that I used a lot. There was one that was like an actual file that like you download it and it would just go onto your computer and do nothing. And you'd be like, oh, I guess I was a dud or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it would just do it every couple minutes.
No.
On your computer.
That's horrible.
It was the absolute fucking worst thing. But no,
we're doing it.
We're doing motion pictures. And do you have any television?
I have TV. I have a couple of TV.
I got some TV.
Now, I remember a jump scare you were telling me about not too long ago about the Resident Evil game where you look through the window.
Oh, my God. I was thinking about this today. We call them cheap. Mm-hmm. We call them cheap because they never don't work.
Yeah.
They can't not work.
Right.
We're just dumb animals.
Right.
And somebody put something loud at us that we weren't expecting and some movement we weren't expecting.
Right, right. It's like, it simulates like our predatory response, right? Like when a bird like flies by and like a dog goes nuts because like you see something fast moving. That's exactly what it's stimulating in our lizard brain.
Right.
It flips us out. We get nuts. Right. Like we get heightened awareness at that point because we're like, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Something's going to attack us.
And I mean, you could be the most hardened horror fan. The only thing you see from like real horror hounds is they recover very quickly. They're like, fuck you. Like,
I know.
Like, you got me, you son of a bitch.
Well, one of the ones I'll talk about is it was just like an amazing movie theater experience because we had such a hot crowd and they were screaming and then it was like those laughs that you do like after you have a good scare. So like the whole theater was giggling after it.
It's like an orgasm.
It's so cathartic.
The laugh after was like, ha ha, we're alive, we're alive.
We made it. They got us. So we talked about the noise, right? So like jump scares, the cheapest of the cheap jump scares is just like a big loud noise.
Yeah.
And something, you know,
coming out of the blue
and getting you. But I have a feeling I know a couple of yours.
And I picked some famous ones.
Yeah, me too. Like I'm not trying to be like niche and cool. But I feel like the best jump scares, like the really earned jump scares where you're like, that was so good. Like they really set the table and they do a lot of misdirects. Like they'll show you the scary thing and you think it's over and then they get you with a second hit. Yeah. It's like a 1-2 punch.
I have a famous one on here. I tried to pick ones that were famous and well-known and work really well, like really scare you. But also ones that do things different. Like one of the ones I have here, the jump comes from the background. Mm. Whereas for the most part, jump scares come from off-screen space. It comes into the frame.
Yeah, yeah.
This comes from the background that you're already looking at, which is a real magic trick.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Well, we'll see.
All right.
So for brevity, too late. we decided to do 5 each mm-hmm. instead of 10 each because we got lives. I'd love for you to go first.
Okay, sure. All right, so I'm going to do one that got me really, really good mm-hmm. and I knew was coming. Like, I knew it was – I'd never seen it before, but I'd heard this jump scare was really good and that it was on its
way. So you had a sense it was coming.
I had a sense it was coming and it still got me.
Wow.
So this is from The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
A lot of great scares.
Mm.
A lot of anti-jump scares where they show you the scary thing for a long time and it's still very scary. Like, well, it's just a looming sense of dread that builds and builds.
We call jump scares cheap. I think doing the other thing, the true eerie thing, mm-hmm. I think that in some ways is more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. I think they really didn't fall back on too many jump scares. There were like a couple peppered in. So it really became an unexpected viewing experience where you're like, okay, I don't think there's going to be a... Right. So that now it's like the end of the season, this jump scare occurs.
Yeah. Yes.
And you've made it like with maybe one or two jump scares here and there. Yeah. So you're not expecting a lot of jarring things.
Right.
And they get you with a really good one. Right. So this is when... So I had heard there's a big jump scare when two characters are in a car. So now I'm watching this. Two characters are in a car. They're having an argument. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? I'm like looking on the road like to see like if they're going to hit. You know, they do the thing where like an apparition appears in front of the car or something. They swerve off the road. Like it's I'm looking for that.
I'm so fascinating because this is on my list as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I did not know it was coming at all and it made me poop myself. But you were waiting for it.
I was waiting. I was like, okay, I'm like, where's it going to come from? Where's the scare coming from? I'm like trying to outsmart the thing I'm watching.
It's The Haunting Hill House. This came out in 2018. Mm-hmm. It's directed. Every episode is directed by Mike Flanagan. Mm-hmm. And I think this is episode 9.
It's towards the end.
Yeah.
So the two sisters are arguing, and obviously like spoilers for all of these things because we're going to tell you where the scares are, which if you're like me, you like to know, and then you watch it anyway. And was it I think it's the sister's face.
It's the sister.
Yeah.
The younger sister.
The youngest sister who's deceased.
Right.
So the two living sisters are arguing.
Right.
And they're driving. And then all of a sudden, out of the backseat of the car, the sister's face comes like between them as if she's in the backseat listening to them.
Right. Which is, by the way, so easy. There's no trick there. Yeah, all it is have the actress in the back seat. Like, it's such a simple thing when you look at it and break it down, but it's so screaming.
She's just like, like wordlessly screaming in between them. So it's loud. It's unexpected. You do see her coming for a little, like for like a second right before it kind of registers that she's there.
It's inside a car and it's pretty typical setup for a car. You've got one person talks, you have them framed by the other person's shoulder and then the opposite of that. So you're keeping people on the same side of the frame, but you've seen it a million times and it's pretty tight. It's because it's in a car. So it's like close ups and it's going back and forth and they're starting to fight. And as they start to fight, the edit rate increases, meaning they're jumping back and forth between images more.
Right. So it's like increasing the tension of the scene.
And when the sister comes out, it's actually dissected. She comes out and screams, but then we see her from the opposite side and then back to the first side. So it's sort of it comes out and then it's like cut. And it's horrifying. I rewatched everything today and I'm waiting for it because it's easy to find these on YouTube because people are like, hey, watch this. And I'm waiting for it and it still got me.
Yeah.
Anything that draws you into like an argument.
Right.
Or
so
those
you're listening to the argument. You're really focused on like what they're saying, how, what the content of the argument is.
Right. What I love about that scare is that it's emotionally resonant because, jump scares are jump scares. They usually don't have any narrative purpose.
Right.
But when you watch it, what you realize after is she's trying to stop them from fighting.
Right.
The family is tearing itself apart. The family's fighting. So almost like a little kid might do from the back seat, she's like screaming, stop.
Right.
But it's terrifying.
It's extremely terrifying. She's the youngest sister.
Right. And she's
feels like
away.
Maybe she has done this many times in their lives before. Right. Like screaming to make herself heard because her older sisters are like talking over her and they're not paying attention to her. And like she's... now entering the frame this way enough to stop them in their tracks.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like it sort of subverted the what I would consider like the classic car jump scares, which are like you hit somebody on the road or like something appears in front of you and you thought you hit something on the road.
Yeah.
A truck blindsides you completely where you'd be, you see what's like, that's always when the framing is like, you see the passenger window behind the person. I'm like, okay, we're going to get hit by a car.
Right, that's what's
going to happen. You're going to get broadsided by something, and then they don't. It comes out right from the middle of between the seats.
It's from within the car,
yeah,
which is not what you're expecting. Well, I wasn't expecting anything. You know, it really got me, especially because, like you said, it's late in the. It didn't establish itself as a jump scary kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary, and there's an ominous mood, and there's eeriness, and there's also all the hidden ghosts that you could go back, and you're so creeped out to know that they were always there in plain sight. So this so gets you.
I was listening to someone whose podcast I listened to talk about it, and that's how I knew about it. He was like, I'm not going to tell you exactly what happens, but he's basically there. A jump scare comes that was so scary. He's like, my dog was curled up at my feet on the bed, and I kicked her almost out of the room. Like, I kicked her so far, she went out.
It really is.
Well, it's a good one.
That is a good one.
Highly, highly recommended if you want to.
Yeah, you should go again because I did. We shared that one.
That was it. Okay. All right. So then another jump scare.
What if we have the exact same
list? I don't think so, because I know you don't love this movie.
Oh, boy.
So this is from the. Oh, God. What year was it? Is it 2018 also? No, maybe 2017. It. The new It.
Okay.
That one has quite a few jump scares, but also does the mood thing where
2017 is part one.
So it is from part one. Which I think is the better one of those.
The only one
movies.
I saw.
Okay. And it has a lot of those moments too, where like they show you Pennywise, and he's just there. He's not a jump scare, and then they have a lot of jump scares.
Yeah.
So I think like the big famous one. Here's the thing that they do that I like about the jump scares that they do.
Yeah.
The jump scare builds in intensity and it goes longer than you think it's going to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's not the jump scare I chose. So there's a couple, like there's one where, Georgie's brother, you know, like the main character. Now I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
He goes to the basement and he sees his dead brother and there's water in the basement. And then like Pennywise slowly comes out of the water.
Yeah.
There's like a jump scare in an already scary scene because then Pennywise starts screaming and like comes at him really fast. Yeah. So I like that. Like those things. The projector scene is like the really big jump scare.
Yeah,
where, like,
that's a good one.
They see him. The image is getting closer and closer to the screen. And all of a sudden like the lights go out and then it's a gigantic Pennywise like popping through the screen.
Yeah.
On all fours, like growling at them, snarling at them. But then the lights keep flashing on and off and he's like moving fast towards them. So it's like it continues. It goes on for longer. It's not just like one scare.
Yeah.
But the jump scare that I really like is in the bathroom when, oh my God, I can't remember any of these characters' names.
The redhead?
Yes. The girl is kidnapped. By Pennywise. So if you've seen the made-for-TV movie, they do the same scene in both the made-for-TV one and the new one. And basically, like, she hears voices of kids, like, down the sinkhole.
Right.
And they're like, help us. Or come down here. Like, we all float down here, whatever they're saying. And then there's blood in the sink and hair coming. It's, like, really gross and scary.
Yeah.
And if you're familiar with the made-for-TV series, then you're like, okay, that was that scene.
Right.
You don't expect anything further because in that movie, nothing else happens.
Right.
But in this one, it's a scary enough scene on its own. And then it's over. And she just takes a step to her left. And Pennywise is standing right
there.
And it's just a huge jump scare.
Yeah.
You don't expect him at all in that moment. Because we saw the scary thing already. The scary thing's over.
Right. It's a misdirect.
Yeah. So that was great. And it's a classic jump scare. He's just like someone's there who you didn't expect to be there.
Right.
And it's one of the simpler ones in a movie that uses a lot of CGI. It's just he's just standing there. And it's so scary. And it got the theater so bad. It was a great audience. Like, yeah. I love, as we talked about like at length on this show, I love a good movie theater experience.
Yeah.
I love a hot crowd. And everyone was like screaming, giggling, we did it. And that was one of the ones that got people the most, like, oh my God. It was a good one.
That is great.
So that's in that movie of like big jump scares. It's like a quieter jump scare that I think is really well executed.
Well, like jump scares are so interesting because it draws your attention to the simple fact that cinema is all about showing you what it wants and manipulating what you see and taking disparate elements and crafted and putting them together to make a narrative. And it's so, you know, it's always like right outside of what you see could be something else. You know, like what you're talking about is a good one because it's motivated by the girls' movement, matching action.
Okay.
Right? Like the camera movement is justified by her, the character's movement. So you're watching her.
Right.
And
right.
then there's the clown. So it's just like so simple. It's like the last one we talked about. Like, I think that, now I'm thinking about it. Do I have any? There's one on my list that's like CGI. Everything else is like pretty.
Like practical. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that CGI scares can't be good, but something about the practical is like, it's kind of like you kind of hit yourself on the forehead and go, oh, I should have seen it. Like, oh, it was there.
It uses a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
And I do like the movie. I like it just fine. I think overusing CGI is one of its weaknesses. But
what
about
the CGI scene where he's like a monster and then he comes back as the clown as if to be like, hey, audience, by the way, it's still me.
Still me.
I was the other guy. So I gotta go. There's not two villains now. Don't get confused.
Listen, some people need it spelled out. this is, I think, maybe the most effective jump scare in the movie. And it's just practical. It's just him. You know, it's so simple.
Yeah. You know, there. I don't have any on my list. I don't have any instances of jump scares that are around or involving medicine cabinet mirrors.
Oh, OK. Yeah, sure.
But the medicine cabinet mirror jump scare is such an art form because the obvious one is person looks in the mirror, there's nothing behind them, they open the medicine cabinet, we don't see the mirror, when we see what's inside, and then they close and the person's behind it. So a lot of movies do that and it always works.
Yeah.
But then we got clever to movies doing that. So there are so many other movies that like have a third beat or like it's not that. You turn around and then it's that way. Like
is it in Candyman? Or it's in one of the Candyman movies where Candyman's been attacking people that way. Like the whole movie. So she opens the medicine cabinet, looks behind her before she closes it. Like, okay, coast is clear. Closes the medicine cabinet and then he comes in through the medicine cabinet.
See, I've never seen any of the Candyman's.
That's a good misdirect one. I don't like love that series, but I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's
one of the oldest type of jump scares though, because I was looking at, oh gosh, it's a black and white movie. It's not Shock. That's got a really good jump scare. But basically she's the character is looking through her closet and she's a mirrored door on like a wardrobe and she closes it and there's a man in the corner of her room. And as she's closing it, you just see him for a second. And you're like, oh, like there's an intruder in the house. Like, it's not even a horror movie. It's just...
Well, what, you know, what's more scary than like a face that you didn't expect to see a face?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's all because we are... Our evolution has made us really, really good at looking for faces. You know, it's all like primal stuff.
They recently did a movie. The original movie is called Shock. I think it's like just like it's like an evil little kid movie. It's like one of those tropes. And it was in the trailer. And I think it's like the only like famous thing of the original where a little boy is like the end of the hall. It's dark. And his mom is at the other end. He's like, mommy. And he comes running to her and she has her arms out. And right before he reaches her, he turns into a full grown man and like grabs her.
Whoa.
And I watched the original, how they did it. And it's so clever because it was from like the 1970s or earlier. And so the little boy comes running and the camera is like maybe shoulder height on the woman. So you can't see anything from like her waist down. And it's so clear that like watching it, like some guy was just crouching waiting.
Right.
So like as the little boy's about to like put his arms around her waist, he just ducks down and the guy pops up in front. But it is still, it's effective.
When you don't, I mean, you can't try to figure out a magic trick until you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the days before VHS, it's like, who cares? We just got to get you once.
Yeah, just.
We just got to, you know, who cares if you see how it works? We're going to get it. All right. So my next one, this is a classic. This is from Friday the 13th.
Okay.
From 1980, directed by Sean Cunningham. And this is the very first Friday the 13th. That's where Jason's mother is the killer. Jason is the was a little boy who was drowned, or he drowned when his out of negligence because the camp counselors were boning somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie's over. The protagonist has killed the killer, and she gets into a rowboat and just like goes out on the lake. So it's the lake. The sun is up. You see a cop arrive. There's so it's like all the things that make you feel good, right? The sun is out. There's a cop. She's in a boat surrounded by water. Mm-hmm. What could possibly happen?
Right, right.
And there's this like very melodic music, you know, very like, oh, everything's great. We won. Slow motion zooming in on the protagonist. And then in this, in one shot, they start cranking it normal. And it basically, the little boy Jason jumps out from the water and grabs her. So it goes from slow motion to he's regular motion. Mm-hmm. So that alone is jarring. And then it cuts to a close-up of him jumping on her, and that's in slow motion. But the movie has had nothing supernatural.
Does it end on a freeze frame?
Well, there's a famous freeze frame that the second one ends on. Because the second one ends with his mother's head. And originally they had the eyes open. And then they were like, this is stupid. Freeze it before it gets to the point where the eyes open. But you could see that's where it was going. It's, I don't know, I wonder if it's because it's a classic. I wonder if kids today would be like, ah, something else is coming. Because the music is pretty corny. But you're kind of like, where is it? Where could it come from? You know, and this is before Jason became the villain. So, like, there's nothing supernatural in the first movie. You're like, what could happen?
Right, right. It's just like a vengeful mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's, it's a human as far as they know.
Right.
Not like an undead, unkillable thing. Why does he look, like, burned? Is it just, like, rot from the lake? Like,
well, he's...
Because I know he was disfigured, right?
Right. Despite the fact that mostly the same crew made those movies 1 year after another after another, there's no consistency on how he looks.
Shocking lack of continuity.
Yeah, how he looks just does not make any sense.
Okay. Okay.
Sometimes he's like straight up bogeyman monster. Sometimes he looks like a person. Victim.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some, you know, like in the first, the best one I think is either two is the best one, which is the first one with him. And he's like, kind of just looks like bohemian. He's got like long hair and he just looks like a guy you might buy weed from. That one has a good jump scare because he jumps through a window and grabs someone. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that coming.
No, no,
you're like,
no.
Come on, there's a window there, guy. Who would go through such trouble? So that's one for my list.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So the next jump scare is from some more like recent movies, I would say. From Insidious.
Ooh.
Insidious has a lot of great scares.
Insidious is
an amazing... Good. I'm gonna lay it out for you. The first time I watched it, I was like, this movie had the most amazing first act. And then kind of fell off in the second act.
Well, the first act is all I remember because what impressed me was, you know, in every Haunted House movie, you're like, move. And they do that
they
in this movie.
They do that.
And
yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
All right. They solved the problem. You won me over.
We're done.
That's
it.
They're like, oh, this shit's haunted? My ass move.
Let's go. And it's always like a money issue. Like, we can't afford it. And she's right. Like, I don't care.
Right, right.
We're going to die here. We got to go.
This is clearly a haunted spook house.
We're out. We are out right away.
This is a
like,
Halloween
first 10
house.
Minutes, they're out of the house. It's like, yeah. No problem. Problem solved.
Yeah.
Yes. It has some great scares. It has some really, like, just freaky scares. Like, she hears a noise on the baby monitor, and then right. She hears, like, a very evil voice, like, screaming at her baby.
There's
her
also
baby's,
hidden
like,
shittiness, too.
Yes.
Like, the little boy. Creepy little children.
Oh. And there's just, like, a lot of good scares. There's one scare in the movie that's not a jump scare that always, like, struck me as being very clever, because it seems like... As a person who has experienced sleep paralysis many times, it seems like something you would experience in a dream. Mm-hmm. Like a man, you know, like the part where a man comes into her room, like a kind of a long-haired guy just like stomps into her room.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay. She's asleep in the bed. I think this is the second, or maybe it's the first house. She's with her husband. They're asleep in the bed, and there's like a kind of a balcony outside their bedroom. Uh-huh. And you can, it just opens on the scene. There's no like ominous music or anything. They're sleeping. And then you see the guy very clear. It's like they're not hiding from you, just walking on the balcony, like stomping on the balcony, like walking back and forth, like pacing.
I don't remember
like,
this at all.
You can hear his footsteps. So it's almost like she's like she could hear it in her sleep or something. And he's walking back and forth. And then he just barges into the room from the balcony doors and like comes and attacks her in the bed. It was one of the weirdest things because it's off like it kind of sets you off kilter because you're like, is that guy supposed to be there? Like, it's not can't be a ghost because they're just showing him to us. And then, but it isn't. He is like a spirit or like whatever in the house.
Wow. I thought you were gonna say the famous scene where.
Oh no, that's not the jump scare. The scene is the one you're thinking of. Yeah. That's the best one, I think, still in the movie.
Well, yeah.
They're having a discussion, basically, like their son is in a coma, he's possessed or whatever, and they're having a discussion with the Patrick Wilson's mother, who was basically like, oh no, this happened to you also. Like, you were haunted by this spirit.
Is it Lin Shaye or am I imagining that?
Lin Shaye. Isn't Lin Shaye the paranormal investigator?
Oh, yeah.
So the mother is played by someone else.
All right.
But she's talking about it and she's saying, like, they said they wanted Dalton, who's the kid, right? I think that's the kid's name.
I don't know.
They're talking about, like, basically, like, a spirit. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then, you know, they're all just sitting around in broad daylight at like a dining room table talking. And like, again, the camera's going from like each character, going from Patrick Wilson to the mother to Rose Byrne, back and forth. And then the mother all of a sudden is looking at Patrick Wilson. You don't see this because you're watching her and she looks horrified. And then it goes back to Patrick Wilson. He's like, what? And there's a monster behind him.
Right.
It's just a demon face right behind his head.
Right.
I feel like this image
it's like
is
a meme.
On every like jump scare thumbnail that you've ever seen. It's this thing.
But it's a pretty clever one.
It's a good one.
Right, because it's not jumping out of anywhere.
No,
it's not,
he's just creeping. Right, he's right there. He's hovering.
Jump, but he doesn't jump.
He doesn't jump.
He's just there.
And he's breathing heavy and like an animal.
Looking like Darth Maul.
Yeah, exactly like Darth Maul.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a very good one. I like it very much.
Yeah, that is a very good one. Fantastic. Well, since you brought up sleep paralysis, let's talk about
Lord.
The documentary. Yeah, one of them is from a documentary.
This is not okay.
No, you've broken the rules.
You're like, oh, sleep paralysis. I experienced that. I'm terrified every night of my life. Let's watch this thing and maybe help me understand.
Nope.
We're going to scare the shit out of you some more. Good night.
We turned your life's greatest issue into a spooky movie.
Good luck sleeping ever again.
So the documentary is called The Nightmare. It's from 2015. And
boy, is it ever.
It's directed by Rodney Asher. And it is a documentary.
Hey, you know what? Go fuck yourself, Mr. Asher.
Hey, if you listen to the podcast.
Rodney.
Go fuck yourself.
Not cool, man.
It's
not
people talking about sleep paralysis and explaining their experiences with it. And a lot of it is, you know, the movie's spooky to begin with because they do like reenactments, quote, of what people feel like they're seeing. So you do see scary or spooky stuff throughout. It is a creepy movie.
Yeah.
So it's not completely out of nowhere. But then there's a jump scare. There's a moment where one of the
this poor woman
people in the I don't think it was real on the set. You think like someone just
someone
like
they had in a, her face? No.
Like they had a PA like, listen, you're gonna jump out of this. She's talking about the worst thing that happens to her every day of her horrible life. You're gonna jump out and be like boogity. No, so there's this woman speaking about how her sleep paralysis demon actually screams at her, which is like, oh, I didn't think they could get scarier.
Yeah, no.
Well, this one screams.
Don't tell mine because he doesn't know that.
Mine is very, very taciturn. He does not realize
he is quiet.
Screaming is on the menu.
Just keep him out of the loop, okay?
So she's talking about, she's describing it. And she's like, yeah, and he'll be above me and he'll be screaming. And the camera actually like pans a little bit and creates space to the right of her.
Yeah. Which, so you like see her nightstand and you're
yeah,
like,
yeah. And you're like, did the cameraman plan this or did this happen by accident? And then the editor is like, you know what you do right now, right? So she's like, and the monster's screaming, and then I've watched it like 20 times today, and I can't explain what it looks like. It looks like a mattress monster because it's a wall. It's the size. It's the whole frame. There's like a face that's screaming.
It almost looks like a book on a face, like a face on a book or something. It's weird. It's just, it's a weird looking thing.
It looks like a Doctor Who kind of monster.
Yeah.
It's a big scary monster, and it's a huge jump scare in a documentary.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's so loud.
Yeah, it's super loud.
It's insanely loud.
And
it's like those E-Bombs World screams. It's like, wah! Like, it's just, it's crazy.
And again, you're not expecting this in a documentary. For crime any sake. Yeah, it's such
not
a...
Not okay.
It's such a good one. And it's also because it's such a weird-looking monster, it's kind of like, what did I see?
Yeah, what was that?
What was that?
I hate this movie. Yeah,
this movie is terrifying. Oh, it's just screaming. It's just screaming.
All night long.
It's clearly CGI. That's the one CGI in my list.
It's like over the top CGI. Right. Yeah. It's like...
I really feel like it was an afterthought.
Zero budget CGI.
Yeah. They were like, just make it weird and fast. Which is how I am in bed.
And everyone's mad at you when it's done.
Yeah. Everyone's like, that's not cool. Nobody's happy. Look, does anyone here look happy?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It Yeah. Anyway, it's a good one. Look it up. You could find it pretty easily. Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm. Are we gonna do any honorable mentions?
Oh, I got plenty.
Okay. All right. So what did I do? I did three already. So all right, this is my number four. I wanted to do one that wasn't in a horror movie.
Ooh.
And I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, it's on the tip of my tongue. I know there's a really good one and it's not in a horror movie. And then I figured it out.
Okay.
The first Lord of the Rings movie, when Bilbo Baggins wants the ring.
Yes.
It got everybody because right. Who was expecting a jump scare in the Lord
right.
of the Rings?
Right.
Like no one at all.
It's also it's CGI and mm-hmm. it's a big old cheat
mm-hmm.
because everything, his whole face changes. His teeth become sharp.
Yeah, his teeth become sharp. His eyes are like sunken and crazy. So he wants the ring from Frodo. He's like, oh, let me just look at it. And he's like, no, let me take it back. And he immediately becomes like a golem like creature.
Right. Right.
And he's like, ah, and like screams and like
everybody
becomes like
out.
A little monster. And no one is expecting this. And it's very fast.
Yeah.
And then he apologizes. Ian Holm is like crying. He's like, I'm so sorry.
Right, right.
It does serve a narrative function.
No, it does.
It does show you the power of the ring and what it can do to people, because Bilbo is like this kindly old man who we love right from the beginning.
Right.
And
it is
we
like,
trust the character.
Yeah, it is like a shade of Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is what he could become. It grots you from the inside.
Right.
Yeah, that's a really good
one. It does. It's a good jump scare in the sense that it actually like serves a purpose, but is very unexpected in the moment and like really freaked everybody out when we were watching. And it always gets me because I forget. Like I completely forget it has a jump scare.
Yeah. And that's one of those ones that they've turned into GIFs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people have gone frame by frame to see it because it's super quick too.
Yeah.
And part of me wonders again, if in the script or just on set that Peter Jackson was like, you know, jump for it. And then when they were editing it, they were like, you want to spice this up? Do you want to like turn him into a monster for a second? Like,
well, I mean, he has a background in horror.
Right. Right. He does. Well, horror comedy.
Yeah, true.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. So, okay. My next one is from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
From 1986.
I've actually never seen this movie.
So good.
But I've seen this jump scare because it's like a really famous one.
It's so good. When I saw it as a, but I saw Texas Chainsaw as a kid, and the first one's so realistic and horrifying.
There's a big jump scare with Leatherface in that one too.
Oh yeah,
because his entrance is so chaotic and crazy and loud, with like pig noises and running that you're like, holy shit! And they just wanted to
outdo themselves.
That
first one really is grueling.
It is.
And when I was a kid, I was disappointed by the second one, but as an adult, I appreciate it almost more because it's just a satire. And it's the same director, and he was just like, I can't do it again. I have to do something different. So it's wild and bananas and crazy. So the main character is Stretch, and she is a late night DJ at a rock station.
Mm.
And, you know, the setup is in the beginning, somebody's calling to ask to request something. And while they're on the phone, Leatherface kills them and they could hear it and it goes out over the air and whatever. It's middle of the night. She comes out into she leaves the studio and she comes out to like the waiting room of the station, and Chop Top is there, played by Bill Moseley, and he's gross and he's got like a horrible wig on, and he's taking a wire hanger and burning the tip of it with a lighter and then scratching under his wig. And you hear like metal because he's got a metal plate.
Okay.
And then he takes it and he like picks the skin off of it and eats it.
Ugh.
And he's constantly doing this through the scene. It's horrible.
Oh my God.
And he's just menacing her. He's just like, I love you. I love your show. Oh, that thing you played today was so great. And she's just like terrified. And she's like, you need to leave. And he's like, give me a tour. And she's like, okay. Here's this. Here's the desk, and there's the exit. You can leave now. And behind them is a room with the door open, and it's dark, which doesn't really tip you off because it's a radio station in the middle of the night. So obviously there's going to be glass rooms and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you're not immediately like, oh, I suspect something.
Right.
So she's like, please leave, and then he's not leaving. And he's like, what's in this room? Is this where you keep the oldies? And she's like, please leave. And he's like, oh, is this where you keep the new records? And when he says new records, he switches the light on. As he switches the light on, we hear the chainsaw, which makes no sense, actually, because you would hear it turn on. But the light goes on, chainsaw is going, and Leatherface runs toward her.
And there's like a spark, right? It looks like the chainsaw causes like sparks.
Yeah, it's, and he's like, you don't see, it's not like the light comes on and you see him start running. He like starts running before the light is on. So it's like from dark to light, loud sound, running. And this is the one I was saying before. It's not coming from outside of the frame. It's coming from the background forward. And you're then creeped out thinking like he was always there. He was just standing there waiting for the,
yeah. Which is creepy to think about.
It's a good movie. You know it's satirical because it begins with, there's only, other than Leatherface, there's only one other family member that was in the first movie, the sort of father figure.
Okay.
And he's at a chili cook-off, and he's like wins an award for his award-winning chili. And everyone's like, how do you do it? How do you do it? And then somebody like spits out a tooth.
Oh, no.
And he's like, oh, let me get that. That's just some corn. It's fantastic. Anyway. So that's Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 from 1986.
Oh my gosh.
Underrated movie.
I gotta see it. So I'm almost at my last one. So should we do the honorables?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. So one of the honorable ones for me is High Tension or Hot Tension. It's a French horror movie.
La-di-da.
It's very brutal. It's like a really brutal movie. Basically, this family is this girl and her like friend from college or whatever come back to visit her family while it's like a remote farmhouse. While they're terrorized by this trucker who was following them on the road, who like brutally murders basically like the whole family.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah. And then at the end, well, sorry, I'm going to spoil it for you. Then at the end, it's revealed that the trucker was actually just like the persona of the friend that was brought back from school to like visit the family. And it was her like disassociating to justify like the kill, like that, the fact that she killed the whole family because she has like a sexual obsession with the friend.
Huh.
And she like made herself a victim in the fantasy of like whatever the world is. So it ends in a very like psycho way where the girl, the friend is in the room and they're observing her and they're like, yes, she believes that a trucker terrorized the family, but it was actually her, you know, the like nonsensical explaining
right.
scene, except, you know, it's like a two-way mirror or two-way glass. Yeah, yeah. So she's not supposed to be able to see anybody. And right at the end, there's like a, what are they strings? You know, the sharp music cue where it's like, a noise like that. And she just looks, because she the friend survives. The like woman she's obsessed with survives. And she's there. But like the crazy person's not supposed to know. And she just turns to the mirror really fast, like where the girl is, like with her arms outstretched like this, and with like a crazy smile on her face, like, I want to hug you. I want to embrace you.
Oh, God.
And it's so freaky because like she's just smiling so big and the sound is so loud.
Right.
So that was an unexpected one. And I feel like they're doing an homage to Psycho, but like
That goes back to Psycho. But even the sound, right? Like, this is another evolutionary thing. Mm. You know, the sound of babies crying, the sound of somebody screaming for help. High-pitched sounds freak us out, which is like one of the best uses of high-pitched sounds is in The Dark Knight when the Joker comes to that soiree and threatens Rachel. If you listen to this, the Joker's theme in the score is just an ever-rising
increasing sound
pitch.
Yeah.
To the point where you feel like you're gonna die, and then Batman punches him, and that like literally alleviates. So yeah, like the like that, you can't help but
get freaked
no
out.
No one can hear that and be like, oh, it's gonna get you.
It's gonna get you. So that was a good one. I didn't expect.
When is that movie from?
It's
about?
From like the early 2000s, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's and I remember it was like lauded at the time. People were like, this movie, the new French New Wave horror or whatever. It was 2003.
2003.
It's kind of famous because it's got this, like, I feel like this is in Blockbuster all the time. You would see, she's like the hero, right? Like, she's fighting the trucker, but really she is, in fact, the killer. It's kind of like a lame twist.
Sure.
Because this is the trucker, right? Like, he's coming to get you. But, in fact, it's her the whole time.
The feminist implications of that are very interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's like, stop complaining, ladies. You're the killers, right?
You're the real killers, all you gay ladies. So there's that.
That's like hard candy.
Right,
the victims and an audition. Not that the characters that get abused are good guys. Any other honorable mentions?
Oh yeah, I mean, one we've discussed. Jaws.
Yeah,
one of the better jump scares out there.
Ben Gardner's head.
There it is, floating. Again, it's another musical cue.
Right.
That gets you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's such.
You expect a shark.
Right.
Right.
That's the thing. Yeah. You're like, you're under the water. You're terrified. It's night. Because people call it a horror movie. It's a thriller adventure. Mm-hmm. But that scene is probably the most genuine gothic that movie gets.
Mm.
It's night. There's an old boat.
There's mist. It's like fog all around. Like, you can't see anything.
It's the spookiest scene.
Right, like a ghost ship's going to show up.
And you're like, exactly. You're like, I'm waiting for a shark and a feast. And you know, if you watch it without the sound, it won't have that effect.
Yeah.
It's just a... And then Richard Dreyfuss freaks out. And then there's
like almost like a... Well, yeah, because Richard Dreyfuss screams.
Yeah.
So it's like... he has like a muffled scream sound. And then my last honorable mention was from the movie The Conjuring. Not the hands clapping one. That actually probably would have been a great jump scare.
Is that with the doll?
No. Okay. What's the Conjuring? Has become a movie verse, a cinema verse, right?
I've seen like, none of them.
The doll. I haven't seen any other than The Conjuring. So there's The Nun. There's Annabelle, who is the doll from, I think, The Conjuring.
Right. Is she in the first
one? She's in the movie, but she's like behind glass in their house. And they're like, don't go near that doll. That's Annabelle. And then Annabelle has her own movie. And then there's The Conjuring 2 that's something else. I didn't see that.
Then there was something recently that was like,
well, The Conjuring House is for sale like this week.
Well, these people in real life were con artists. $1.2 million.
Well, apparently people bought it in 2019 and they're like, nope, we're selling it.
Yeah.
Just kidding. So yeah, the investigators are apparently con artists.
Right.
Yes. So this,
there's no such thing as ghosts.
The Conjuring, according to me, doesn't focus on the investigators for like half the movie.
So
it just focuses on like the hauntings at this house. And there's like the hide and go clap scene, which was in the trailers. Mm-hmm. Like it's very simple. It's actually kind of brilliant how they did it. The kids in the house play a game where they like hide and they clap to like give a clue like where they are in the house. But the mother is like aware that the claps are not coming from her kids.
Yeah,
so she's following the sound, and there's like a dark cellar and she lights a match and she's like, is anybody down there?
Yeah.
And it's just right by her ears. You just see hands enter the light of the match and clap.
Yeah.
And it's not her kids. It's just disembodied hands.
Right.
It's a great... It must have been simple to make, but it's a really cool thing. They showed it in the trailer.
Right.
So it lost all of its power.
Right.
And there's another really good one that I would say is an honorable mention because there's like a noise coming from inside the wardrobe in the little girl's room. And like she wakes up her sisters. She's like, something's going on. I don't know what it is. Some thumping and bumping in the night, you know, classic good scary stuff. There, I think like a ball rolls out or something, kind of like E.T. And then they open the wardrobe, right? Like they're being brave. They decide to open it. It's super dark in there. They're like all kind of like far away from it in the room because no one wants to get close. And you expect
Aslan
something to jump up,
out.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's like a very Narnia-esque wardrobe.
I'm a Jesus metaphor.
It's me, Tilda Swinton.
It is I.
So you expect something to come out from the wardrobe.
Right.
And then they look up and there's a horrible crouched woman on top of the wardrobe looking down at them. And it's just like...
Is she naked?
No, she has a nightgown. But it's just one of these things where it's like, oh my God, she was there the whole time.
Right.
Like, we just didn't look up. Like, there she is.
Right.
Just staring at us.
It's that thing. It's that thing of, oh, I didn't... Because I'm not a psychologist, but I have this thing. This is also what I've always thought about, like, the Twilight Zone, too, or any twist ending. I think that we get freaked out when we believe we've misprocessed information.
Okay.
So I think once a twist, that's why I think twist endings get us, because we're like, fuck, the clues were there.
I should have known.
And I didn't get it. Because think about twist endings that aren't properly introduced. You always feel like, ah, that's a cheat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? Lame. It was all a dream. Like, oh, that's stupid.
Did you do your number one?
I didn't. Well, all it's right, not really number one, but yeah.
Let's do my honorable mentions, and then your number one, and then my number one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said one of mine, Jaws. Mm-hmm. Another one I have is, this one is great because it's just a sound. In the movie Hereditary, the little the little girl, one of her like tics is she goes, and what do you call that?
Click clucking?
Yeah, and she passes away in the middle of the movie, which is pretty shocking. And then later on, like the mother, and I saw this in a big theater filled with people, like crowded, like no seat empty. And the mother's like in her room. It's just a creepy atmosphere. And you just hear, and just that little noise, everyone in the theater shat their pants. Everyone was like, no, fuck. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We're alive. We did it.
We did it. We made it through.
Oh, my God. That was the scariest noise I ever heard.
Oh, my God.
What's another one? Carrie. This is a famous one. This one was almost on my list.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of those ones where you look down and you go, I kind of see where you
can
see it coming. But yeah, the girl goes to put flowers on Carrie's grave and Carrie's hand comes out and grabs it. It's fucking great.
They do it in Adam's Family.
Yes, they make fun of it. Do it in Adam's Family. And to follow your lead, I've got two from non-horrors. Mm-hmm. One is from the TV show Louie, the Louis C.K. show.
Okay.
You know, it's besides the point that he's a bad person. So this was an episode, you know, before all that, where he's just having nightmares. The whole episode is him having nightmares. The episode's actually called Untitled. It's one of the most interesting of that series. Mm. And every scene, you can't really tell. I've watched it a few times. You can't tell what's a dream and what's not. Mm. It's very weird. But there's one moment that I feel like is very dreamlike. Which people say that a lot, but I feel like they don't mean it. Mm-hmm. He's with his family and there's a knock on the door and he goes and opens the door and instead of the hallway, there's just a black void and he goes, oh no. And then you hear, and then there's nothing for a second. Then you hear stomp, stomp, stomp and a sort of nude looking man comes and he's got no eyes and he jumps on Louis C.K. and starts like he's going to bite at his face.
Ooh.
And this isn't a comedy sitcom.
Yeah.
And it's fucking terrifying.
That's so scary.
The other one is in Citizen Kane. There's a famous jump scare in Citizen Kane.
Oh, wow.
Which is just one of the many things that I find completely fascinating. I've talked a little bit about Citizen Kane on the pod. I think Citizen Kane is so interesting and there's so much to say, but I feel like the things that people say aren't the things that I'm that interested in.
Okay.
I feel like nobody talks about how fucking weird it is, how it makes no sense, how it feels like a dream, how it looks like a dream. Okay. Why is there a jump scare? Why is this character age, but this character clearly doesn't age? Uh-huh. Why is this here? Why is there reflection? Like the whole thing, no one talks about how surreal it is. It's such a surreal movie. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where, you know, it's all the framing device of Citizen Kane is a reporter who we barely ever see his face. He's interviewing all these people trying to figure out what the last words of this famous newspaper magnate meant, Rosebud. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to, I think, the butler in this scene. And the butler's like, oh, yeah, I know what Rosebud means. This was the day that his wife left him. And then you hear, and there's a bird, like right in the frame. And I've seen it in theaters get people, like you jump. And then it's this sort of scene that begins quiet where he walks down this hallway of mirrors. And then he goes into his wife's room and he like destroys it. You may have seen that. That's a famous thing where he's like, this old man just basically like destroying room. And it gets you every time. And it's so obvious. It's so constructed. It's so orchestrated that I always think, why? Why did you do that, Orson Welles? Before this sad scene, I don't know.
It's odd.
Those are my honorable mentions.
That's very odd. I didn't know that Citizen Kane had a jump scare. See, there you go. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it.
Hey, it's good.
Yeah.
It's actually very good.
Okay. I have to give it a shot. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll wait till like they're adults and they're like in a cinema 101 class or something. I'll be like, let's just do it. I never watched it before. We'll do it for the first time together, all of us.
Yeah. I could say that when I saw it as a kid on TV, I didn't like it. I didn't start to love it until I saw it in a theater.
Okay.
So if that means anything, if you haven't seen it yet, maybe wait till you can see it somewhere in a theater.
Like if like BAM is doing something.
Yeah, it plays a lot.
Okay, we'll check it out.
What's your last one?
This is maybe not the best jump scare. It's a very simple kind of, I don't know. I guess it's been done many sure. times, but it may be first in my heart, perhaps. It's from the episode Hush from Buffy,
the
Vampire Slayer, which.
Oddly, oh, does Joss Whedon come on and start yelling at people, telling them I'm going to ruin your fucking
berating everyone and being rude. Yeah, no.
Does he come on in a fire Charisma Carpenter for getting pregnant?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. The real monster. No, okay.
Yeah.
So it's a great episode. It's one of the scariest, if not the scariest
episode.
It's probably
the most famous episode.
It's fantastic. It is maybe my favorite episode. And I remember watching it, and on a show with vampires and stuff, there really weren't too many like actual scary things that were on this show, right. I think.
I think there is a jump scare in the first scene of the pilot, which is really clever because it's a boy sort of lasciviously like flirting with a girl, and you think he's the predator? Vampire, and
yeah,
then
yeah.
she's the vampire.
And then she's the vampire. Yeah, she turns. Oh, it's a Darla, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Darla. Yeah.
Okay, so in this episode, the entire town of Sunnydale is stricken dumb and mute by this group of... I'm using dumb in the term, like the old-fashioned sense of like, you cannot speak.
Cannot speak.
So by this group of like horrible men in suits who are like bony corpse-looking guys who are bald. Yeah. They have like
they
big
look,
stretched out smiles.
Yeah, they look kind of like Slenderman.
They kind of look like pre-Slenderman. Yeah, exactly. They're known as the gentlemen. They hang out in the clock tower.
Three of them, yeah.
They have these like awful little like animal almost like men who like run around in straight jackets. Like they kind of run around like apes, like on the ground. And so their whole thing is, I don't know, they're in the clock tower during the day, I guess. And at night they float like a foot off the ground and quietly with like weird balletic movements enter your home. You can't scream because nobody has voices.
They render you speechless.
And they cut out your heart and they put it in a box and they're creepy and awful. And so as the town is like realizing something is going on, like one night, I think it's Tara maybe, is looking out the window of her dorm and she sees in the distance two of these guys like floating down the block. And it's eerie and scary on its own because she's like, what the hell am I looking at? And it's awful. And then right in front of the window, like 2 inches from her face, one of these smiling guys just floats right by. And of course, there's like a music cue that's really scary. Right. And it got me so bad when I was first watching it. And it still gets me. And I love it. And it's just the combination of they're showing you the scary thing in the distance.
Right.
And it's bad enough. And then this thing, you know, just floats by. Right. Like really actually like gracefully and peacefully floating by. But with this horrible twisted smile on its face staring right at you. Not doing anything to you because it'll get to you.
Right, exactly.
Eventually. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's very scary that you can't do anything. They can just do whatever they want.
And you can make any scare hit harder if you can draw the attention in.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make sure they're really, really, like I remember one of those stupid internet ones was like, it was this like website that was like, listen to this song backwards and listen to the secret message and turn up your volume. And I'm like, okay, I'm a dummy. I'll do that.
It's so cruel.
So I'm like so closely, like my face is like right on the
monitor.
You're
like, and I'm going to hear.
I'm like, I am so paying attention to this. And then boom, scary. Ah.
Awful.
Wow. Good one. My last one. And I'll say my number one. By the way, just like any other list in PCMC history, I might change my mind tomorrow.
Yeah, I didn't really rank it actually when I was doing it, but I do feel the Buffy one is close to my heart because I was like really, I did not watch horror movies at that age. Like when I was watching Buffy, I was too scared and it was one of like the first jump scares I experienced. So.
Well, yeah. This, I guess this is my number one. This is from The Exorcist 3.
I knew it.
From the year 1990, directed by William Peter Blatty, who wrote The Exorcist book and Legion book, which is what The Exorcist 3 is based on. This is a scene, speaking of Citizen Kane, this scene uses what Citizen Kane is very famous for, which is deep focus, meaning there's a large depth of field. It's actually it's a fixed composition looking down a hallway. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a dark hallway. And you can see all the way to the back of the hallway, the back door. And it's all basically in focus. Mm-hmm. So your eyes can look anywhere. You're not being specifically drawn one way or another. Mm-hmm. And there's no music. There's no background music. So all you hear is like footsteps. And like you just hear like the real diegetic sound. And it's a long scene. Mm-hmm. It's a huge buildup with all sorts of fake you outs. It's a hospital. It's at night. And there had been a murder at the hospital already. Mm-hmm. And there was just weird shit going on. If you've never seen the film, it's really interesting. It's a serial killer mystery, but the killer is actually a spirit that's jumping into different bodies.
Huh, okay.
So it's not one person possessed. It's many people possessed. Mm. And you find out in the film that it's possessing older people who are comatose because it's easier to get them. So in the sort of middle towards the back distance of the frame, like maybe like she's one, the nurse here is like 1/6 of the frame, but she's wearing a red thing around her neck, which makes it easy to see her because the rest is all white. Mm-hmm. And first she hears like a little noise and she's like spooked out. So she walks towards us, towards the camera, and there's a door and she goes in. We then cut to inside the room. There is a jump scare, but it's also a fake you out because a doctor jumps up from the bed and he's like, oh, I'm trying to sleep here. You nurses fucking blah, 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 blah. So it genuinely is a scare. I mean, it works as a scare, but it's narratively not a bogeyman. It's just a doctor. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped an important part. She hears this like little noise that's bothering her. And then she goes into the room and in the room, she sees a glass of ice and the ice is melting. And like when the ice melts. Yeah, like that's what she's hearing. So it's like, this is like a pin drop.
She's like misophonia because like that's bothering her.
Right, right. But there's spooks about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the Exorcist series is all about institutions. Mm. And this one is a big, the big thing, this one is like hospitals.
Okay.
And she goes all the way back to the back of the frame to her little desk and she's there and nothing's happening. There's a cop there. The cop goes out, comes back in. Nothing's happening. She hears something else from the door across the way from her. And now we turn away from that long shot again and see like a close up of her. She gets up to go across the hall and then we're back into that shot. The shot that's mostly the thing that we're being anchored by. Mm-hmm. She looks in this room.
Yeah.
She opens the door, looks and is like, nothing in here.
Right.
And then turns around to walk back towards her desk. But as she turns around and takes like a step, the camera zooms in violently. Mm-hmm. You hear a high-pitched sound and a...
It's like a wah! Yeah. Like a, yeah.
And a person, as she dies without even knowing it because behind her as she's walking is a person dressed in an all like white habit kind of thing.
Yeah, it looks like a nun, but it also looks like someone in a ghost costume, like a sheet over the head ghost costume, which, by the way, is what Henry wanted to be for Halloween. Fantastic. And I had to talk him out of it because I was like, you're not going to be allowed to wear it at school. You won't be able to see when you're trick-or-treating. Like, we got to get you in a different ghost costume.
But God bless him for the classics. And this character is holding gigantic shears that have been introduced in the movie. So you know that they could cut a head off.
Oh my God.
And then it cuts to a statue, a Christ statue where the head is cut off. Mm-hmm. And we find out that we now have exposition with the detective where he's talking about they found the head switch. They found the nurse's head on the statue. And why it works, there's a few like times it cuts away, but why it works is basically you're watching this deep focus depth of field shot for like 5 minutes where there's no sound. There you're kind of like, why am I watching this?
Right,
almost lulls you into a boredom.
Yeah.
And then the ultimate betrayal is that she looks in the room and I guess doesn't see the bad guy. She looks and is like, nothing in here. And then turns around and it pops out anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny because it's like, why would... Well, so what, she didn't see it? Like, what would happen if she saw it?
Right. You're not going to get scared? She'd be dead anyway. Yeah.
So that's... That's a good one.
I've watched this scare because I haven't seen this movie, but you and Anthony actually talked about it. I've actually watched it a few times because I was doing like my jump scare research. And it's funny because the other thing is she's taking kind of like long leisurely steps and he's walking really fast behind her.
Yeah.
And to the point where whoever the actor was or the stunt person was who did
it's
it.
It's a female.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Has to slow down their steps. Like if you watch it really closely, they were coming in so hot when they were filming They actually have to like shorten their steps at the end so they don't bump into her because they're coming out with such force.
Yeah.
if they kept up their pace, they would have actually knocked her over. And like, that's not the purpose of the scene. Yeah. It has to happen off screen. So they actually slow down just a tiny bit right at the end. Because I was just watching their feet and you see they're like, boom, boom, oh, two short steps.
Wow.
So it's interesting. It's funny.
That is interesting. I've never noticed how,
like,
that.
The actor has to like, oh shit, right. Pull it back a little bit. I can't cut her head off right here.
Well, it probably took a long time to film too, because there are some inserts.
They're so close. It's like, she still has no idea.
You also have to choreograph the zoom in working at the same time. So there's like a lot happening. And the zoom in is so, you know, in film language, if you can, you want to track in. You want to physically move the camera in, because when you zoom, you flatten the image. So you're really never supposed to zoom. Or if you zoom, it's supposed to be for a reason. And this is like a zoom. You're like literally like thrown into this horrible thing. And it's like, yeah, that's what you were watching for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Someone's
this lady's going to lose her head.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the best way to be murdered, right?
I mean,
have your head cut off before you even know it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are some research that suggests you know it for like a second or two after.
Well, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrible. No, it's a nice way to end it. wow. So good list.
Yeah. It was like a little bit of everything, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many more that we could have done.
Oh, yeah. There's movies I've never seen, like the Paranormal Activity movies. Oh, yeah. Are pretty much like all jump scares, I think.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think jump scares are you can have a jump scare fatigue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what was that movie? It's not Insidious or The Conjuring.
Sinister.
Yes. There you go. You knew it immediately.
That kept coming up on lists too. I haven't seen that either.
But it works, but it's just jump scare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To the point where like the movie is so abusive to you. You're in such a toxic relationship with the movie that like it doesn't have an effect. It's the exact opposite of The Haunting of Hill House, where there has not been a jump scare. Mm-hmm. And now we're 9 episodes in and one gets you so hard.
Yeah, yeah. I loved how they, I feel like Hill House was just so well done, because it's almost like a really well-written essay where they have like really long sentences and then they have like punchy short sentences get you and hit you right in the gut. And they're not overusing it. They're just taking you on this journey. Yeah. Like, I really loved how they created the mood, how they used the scares, how they made the scares important to the story. I just thought it was a very well done show.
Yeah.
And I was not disappointed by the second season. It's just a romance. It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing at all.
It's not the same thing.
But if you want the same thing, which you do, you're going to be disappointed.
I know. You can't go into it expecting it. I ended up enjoying it a lot, actually, the second season. But it's not the same thing at all.
No, not at all. You know, of like the classic slasher movies of the 80s, Jason, the Friday 13th movies are the biggest culprit of jump scares.
Okay.
There's not a lot in Freddy. There's a few in Freddy. But Freddy's more like creepy, and Michael Myers, there's some, but that's more like the menacing of him. Like, there's a lot of him just like relentless, walking like, after
I'm actually surprised you didn't use the one from It Follows.
Oh, the tall man. That's a good one too. Mm-hmm.
That's another one that comes from the background.
And that's a great example of no one's coming and still get you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what gets you in that one is, me and Anthony talked about It Follows on last year's Halloween specials. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do 4 all month long.
Mm-hmm.
It always looks different. So you're kind of like freaked out by who, like, what is it, just a big tall man?
Yeah.
In a white t-shirt. All right. Okay. That's scary. Wow. Well, this has been fantastic.
Thank you so much.
What
for
a great
my
way to kick off Halloween 2021.
Hope you got your heart pumping. You're ready to go.
Oh, boy. I'm Mike Bongiorno. This is PCMC.
You have to end it now with like a horrible scream sound. Like,
no, I'm not going to do it. They're going to think that I'm doing
You're
it.
You're going to do it.
This is.
They're just going to be waiting for the episode to end. No.
Oh, have you ever, when you were a kid, did you ever have your parents like do that to you?
To like stop hiccups all the time.
No, not to stop hiccups. Not to stop hiccups, like just to for their own amusement.
No, I didn't. I never did. It was always jump scares to stop hiccups. It was with a purpose, but I honestly felt like they enjoyed it.
My parents would just do it for their own amusement.
I never do that to Henry because Henry has been like giving him. He figured out how to give himself hiccups in the last month or so, and it's disgusting and awful. And he just keeps doing it. Like, I think he just likes that he figured this thing. He like hacked his body somehow. So
that's amazing.
He just starts gulping air, and then it gives himself the hiccups. He figured out how to do it. I think he's almost over this phase because he hasn't done it in a while. So I'll keep my fingers crossed. But my mom was just like, just scare him. I'm like, no, I'm not going to scare him. We'll do other things. And then I turn my back for 2 seconds and I hear like, wah! And he's like, ah! She just wants to scare him. She wanted to scare me.
An excuse. You want to scare your kids, just scare your kids.
Personal jump scare.
What? Stop. What?
When he was upstairs and ran out of room for the first time.
Holy crap. That was horrible.
What happened?
He was the jump scare and I was the looming sense of dread that was created by the noises I was making. And Bill was just terrified and scared. As usual, our Halloween episodes end with a personal story that is very scary.
Yes.
This one actually isn't that scary, but it's just the circumstances scary. Henry was asleep in his room with in a big boy bed for the first time.
Nice.
And so he has now like freedom to move and run out.
Sure,
and
sure.
He also simultaneously began experiencing like night terrors.
Aww.
I know. So middle of the night, we're both dead asleep. I hear boom, 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 running footsteps really fast. Uh-huh. His door swings open like really loudly and he's screaming. He's like,
"Mama!" Oh my God.
Crying, running, like in the middle of a nightmare basically. Mm. And was so disoriented that he started running away from us, like down the hall in the other direction. We're like, no, come back. And me being like so deep in my sleep, I was like, Henry! Like, I made this like horrible, like, like ghoulish noise.
Oh my God.
And Bill's like, what is happening? The whole house is going nuts.
That's amazing.
It was so like, our hearts, like we put him back to bed and everything was okay. And we're up and it's like 20 minutes later and I'm just like, my heart is
You feel so alive.
So hard. And Bill's like, my chest actually hurts. Like we texted each other like much later in the morning, yeah. Like when Bill was at work. And I'm like, does your chest still hurt? Because mine does. He's like, no, it really hurts. It was so scary in the middle of the night to have this like your child screaming, running, slamming doors, like completely unexpectedly. Holy shit. Thankfully, he has stopped doing that, so.
I want to, like, teach Henry some creepy rhyme.
No, don't.
And be like, just walk into your mother's room in the middle of the night and just say this poem.
No.
And just don't tell her that I told you.
Stop.
Well, my personal jump scare was when I was in Disney and that man who looked like me attacked me. And it ended up just being the mirror that I didn't remember was on the bathroom door.
Stop it.
And I screamed and Jen woke up and was like, what? And I was like, nothing.
What, you just went to the bathroom and didn't know there was a mirror? Room.
It was like one of our first nights, maybe the first night. So I don't remember. I don't know the layout of the whole place. You know, and I'm groggy. I'm going to the bathroom to pee. And I forget that there's a mirror on the door. And I see a man. He's got a bald head and he's handsome as the day is long, but I was like,
unsavory looking character.
I was like, who is this man? And I scream and then punch at him.
No.
And then the door, when I punch at the door, I'm like, oh, it's a door.
The whole door fell off.
No, thank God. Oh, but
they charge you for that. Oh,
that was, you know what? We're lucky we could even go back there because we were such... By not no fault of our own. Like one day we thought the door was locked and it wasn't. It was just hard to open and we called them and we're like, our door is locked. And then they came and were just like, open the door for us.
You gotta push it. You
gotta turn the knob, assholes. Oh my God. Please never come back. Anyway, this is Halloween 2021. I'm Mike Montgomery. That's Janine Guillotine Gagliardi.
I love it. Are you like Mike Bones Buongiorno?
I can't think of a good one for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike Buongiorno.
Yes. Exactly. Stick with us all month. This is just act one.
Nice.
We do all of October is spooky stuff. There's some fun stuff coming up. We end the episode by saying, ooh,
bye-bye.